Welcome, Mary.
Thank you, Justin. Please do feel free to come up a little bit closer.
So people can move through.
And you could just say a few more details of the process as well.
Excuse me for coughing. Getting up close to this work, I think, is incredibly important. And the closer you get and the more you look, the more you become aware of certain details. But before I elaborate on that, I sort of really am drawn to think about the difference between realism and reality. There's an amazing realism in this work. It's uncanny and almost overwhelming in its realism. And yet, of course, we know that if we were to stretch our hand out, we wouldn't touch a warm, breathing, living body. We're looking at a sculptural construction. So what happens in this sort of debate between what our eye tells us and our mind wants to believe and the actual processes and practices that went into making this remarkable work? Now, we know, if you read the notes about Ron Muick, the artist, that he actually used a model from about 6 months pregnancy until just up until before she gave birth, closely studying her. I understand sleeping sometimes on a mattress in his studio with books on anatomy. He worked so late and was so tired. And constantly drawing, modelling, totally absorbing himself in this particular figure. The same process that he uses for all of his sculptures. So what we have before us is a very contemporary piece, not in marble, not in bronze, none of the traditional materials. And is that not working? Thank you. Sorry. And these are put together in such a way that eventually we do suspend belief, but we have to keep thinking about their materiality. This is a figure made of silicone in the face because it's soft and you can press the individual hairs in. You've got a body made of fiberglass. But it's also, in a way, a painting, because he paints the inner layers. He paints the outer layers. You know, he's using historical, traditional techniques, but reworking them in the techniques of today that allow us to make that suspension of disbelief. We know that bronze is cold. We know that marble is cool to the touch. But this work, we believe in our minds, somehow is living. It's like going to a play. We know they're actors on a stage. We know they're dressed in costume. But when the curtains rise up and the theatre goes dark, we enter that world for that brief time. Now, what I'd like you all to do is put your bags on the floor and put your arms in that position. Just see if you can do it. I can't. My neck's far too old and munted. But you put your arms in that position, and most of us look tight and constrained. Our necks go down. There's something about the angle of that head which gives an elegance to this form that you don't get in real life. When I look around this room, there may be one or two of you with wonderful long necks and very long arms who can get into that position. So what you've got here is an accumulation of study, an understanding of what happens to the body when a child, a fetus grows within it, and what happens to the balance of the body. Because if you come round to the side and you look at the back, you see how the sculpture, the woman, is forced to bend her back to counterbalance the weight of the belly. And the bigger the fetus gets closer to birth, the more that becomes apparent. The legs swell, collecting fluid in the later months of pregnancy. And when I looked at photographs of this work, the one thing that I found most odd were the sort of creases around the knees. You get here, and of course you realise that the thighs are holding water too. This is a woman waiting to get her body back. Yes, she wants to be a mother. Yes, she's full of anticipation. Yes, at this moment, she is labouring. But what will happen once this child is born is she will regain her body, but her life will never be the same again. Ever. No matter what happens to her. And you could say for every mother, whether you have a live child or you are tragically giving birth to a child that doesn't live, you are a mother, and that will never change. But this is a woman of the world as well, because you notice that her legs are shaved, her armpits are shaved. She isn't, you know, sometimes people talk about the notion of giving birth as almost like an animal process. But this is a woman who has groomed herself for the moment. And it's an interesting thing that pregnant women, even fully clad, become kind of public figures. The number of women who said to me, you know, people want to touch my belly. Now, you'd never go up to somebody in the street and say, oh, can I just put my hand on your belly? You'd never do it. But when a woman is pregnant, and this amazing, because I think in a sense, even though we know the science now, there always is an essence of the miracle about pregnancy and birth. You become public territory. And never more so when cast as a giant figure placed in an art gallery. And it's very interesting to watch the reactions of people as they walk around the room, because whereas some people come in and just gape in amazement and then move close, there are others who feel, I shouldn't be looking. And I watched a young man go past earlier on, and he was thinking, it's not right to look. You know, you're crossing that taboo between the private and the public. For me, the most beautiful thing about this work is that face. And I really love a ladder, because when you look at it in a photograph, it's photographed directly across the work. And you see this very exquisite profile. Some of you who are slightly taller than me will have a better viewpoint of that as we speak. But it's the expression on this woman's face that is also so remarkable. And the reason I think that she is in labour, even though I was concerned that it seemed to me that this belly hadn't dropped enough for this baby to engage, and here we are interpreting it as a real woman when we know it's a sculpture, constantly oscillating between the two. But she's drawn into herself. We may be in what seems a public space, but by not looking at us, the face totally closed off, engaged in what is starting to happen within this body, what this work remarkably does is allow us to share that experience. Something that, you know, if you attend a birth, you do experience. But for those of us who've had babies, we were far too damn busy at the time to even think about that kind of thing. And even a lot of men who've assisted with their wives and their girlfriends give birth are so busy giving assistance that you don't get that time to stop and to just look. So her mouth is open. I wonder too if raising the arms above her head for a moment lifts the weight of this child, which is about to start forcing itself out. This is still an enclosed body. And I'm quite glad we're actually spared the last bit. We can only imagine it. But of course, if you go into the next room, you can see the aftermath, writ large, if you like. The attention to detail on this work too is extraordinary. Only this morning I was standing here and I suddenly realised there's a tiny glistening drop of sweat on the foot. The whole body is glazed. It's a glowing with that very fine sheen of perspiration that comes from such extreme focus and concentration. And when I look at her, I think, this isn't actually a labour just beginning. Look at the rings beneath her eyes. This has been going on for some time, and it's not over yet. So it's that moment that allows us to pause and think about the human body and what it is capable of doing well, you know, none of us would be here without it. But also that miracle, in a sense, that is about to take place. We, of course, grow old and die. This figure, for the moment, is completely enclosed and contained at this particular stage of life. But even this sculpture will age, whereas bronze and marble will last hundreds and hundreds of years, even thousands of years. Fiberglass and silicon and resin, once exposed to the light that we all need for life, in fact, slowly brings about its decay. So this work will eventually darken and become, at some point, long in the future we hope, impossible to display. But one of the things about great art, I think, is that you never forget it. You may stop seeing it, but having seen it, it moves you into a different realm. So this is the whole benefit of art and art galleries, and I think Ron Muick does it absolutely superbly. Okay, I've done my art bite. We'd better stop there. But are there any questions?
How long did it take you to do it?
Well, it's interesting. Some of the smaller ones only took a couple of months, didn't they? Whereas these ones, all they haven't said exactly the amount of time, but it took much, much longer. And, you know, it's built up. It's just like, you know, if you think about you start off with wire mesh, and sometimes I think you use paper in the wire mesh and then clay, and then you put on your layers of fiberglass, and it has to be cast. But the head, because it's made of silicon, is done differently. And apparently he couldn't get the clay out of the head, so it had to be gouged out. And if you watch the fantastic films through in the next room, you really get to see that whole process. And in a sense, that's where it's closest to a bronze casting. When you think about the techniques used for making bronze, you end up with something halfway through the process that looks pretty rough. And then at the end of it, you have this perfected sculpture. Yes, I wonder what you think of it.
It's a great note to end on. Mary, thanks so much for talking.